I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because this is perhaps the classic passage on love in the Bible, and that's our theme this morning, the power of love. Most people kind of, you know, this often gets read at weddings and things, but if you look at the context, it's actually God speaking to the church through Paul at the church in Corinth. So it's actually a message for the church. So here goes. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Thank you. Brilliant. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Still do some of that. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. There are certain things that we just love. I love chicken Danzac. And lime milkshakes. And pistachio ice cream. But there you go. For others, it might be animals, or nature, or a motor car. It can be effortless to love certain kinds of art and music and to hate others. This is kind of natural love. We don't think about it. We just love it. People's tastes may vary, but we all love certain things without thinking about them. Now, the word love in the English language can mean a variety of things. And in Greek, the language used in the New Testament, there are several words for love. And I want to think about four of these words this morning. So here we go. Storge, philia, eros, and agape. Did you know there were so many? There's more words than that, but I thought four was enough to inflict on you. Okay, so if we think first of all about storge love, or affectionate love, or family love, this refers to the natural or instinctive affection that we have. When a child is born, there is an immediate love and bond between the parents, or, well, in most cases, there, you can't explain why, but you love that child. That child is yours, is precious to you. And you try to go on loving them, even when they're teenagers. Yes. But there's that family bond between people. You can't explain it, but you know that it's there. I'm sure, Daniel, when your little daughter was born, it was love all over straight away. Brilliant. And then we come to phileo, which is a Greek word which means friendship or brotherly love. And this is a love which exists between close friends. We might say, he's my best mate. That's phileo love. They call it a bromance today, don't they? Something like that. We won't ask who the bromances are in the church, but I have some idea. Or a lady might say, she's my girlfriend. That doesn't mean it's anything physical or romantic going on, but she's your close friend, that there's a deep bond with someone. Often of the same sex, isn't it? That you just have that relationship with someone. Perhaps you're at the same stage of life. Perhaps you see things the same way, and you just feel that deep affection one with another. Now, going back to the kind of idea of the bromance, here's some verses from 1 Samuel chapter 18. The story of Jonathan and David. Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. They had a bromance going on. They just were, I guess, guys at a similar stage of life. They'd both grown up in and around Saul's palace, and they just loved each other as mates. Now, some people have tried to kind of say, was there something dodgy going on between them? I don't think there was at all. I just think that they were solid mates. The problem we have today is that it's actually quite hard just to be for guys to have a friend like that. I went to the cinema with a friend in when I was in Stowe Market, and we just decided we'd go and watch this film together. But everyone's kind of working out whether we're in a gay relationship, you know. But that's such a shame, because actually, you know, these kind of relationships are very important. And actually, this should also be the kind of love that exists in the church between us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we have this kind of love for each other, this phileo love. Now, we're going to look at the other two kind of loves in a bit more detail. Now, we have to acknowledge that our world is obsessed with eros love. Two people are mutually attracted to each other. But sadly, if that relationship is only based on that initial attraction, it's very unlikely to last. And people end up having several relationships. They fall in love with one and then fall out and go with somebody else that they're attracted to. If we're honest, we're probably looking for something deeper than that in a relationship, more than mere physical attraction. What we all need is committed love. Love that goes on loving through the tough times as well as the good. But where is such love to be found? Let me read you some words from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is a very different kind of love, isn't it? A selfless love, a self-sacrificing love. And we're going to be thinking, what is the word for that in a moment? What is this love that we're asking God to pour over us? Well, I believe it's agape love. That's the final Greek word here. It's a different kind of love altogether. It's an unconditional, self-sacrificing love. It's a love that doesn't focus so much on the value of a person or object, but rather chooses to value it anyway. I don't know if you ever had a favourite toy or blanket as a child that went with you everywhere. One of my sons had a puffin toy. This little toy puffin. He cherished it. It went with him everywhere till he dropped it down the loo at the airport. There was nothing to do. We bought him another later on, but it was never the same. There was value placed on that toy that went beyond its intrinsic value. Some things are loved because they're valuable, but other things are valuable because they are loved. Other things are valuable because they are loved. And this is the kind of love that God, that Jesus Christ has for us. It says in the words here, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? This much, he answered. Then he stretched out his arms and he died. That's how much he loved you and me. If we're honest, we've all messed up so much in our lives. We've all said and done things that we regret. And the Bible calls these things sin. But the incredible message of the Bible is that despite our sin, God chose to love us. Even though we don't deserve it, he chose to love us. He loved us so much, he sent his son to die for us. You know the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus comes to take the punishment of all who will ask him to deal with their sin and their guilt. And the question is this morning, have we admitted that we need his forgiveness? That we need his love? Have we received God's love for ourselves? You know how it is when you get a Valentine's card? Not sure who it's from. Or if you think you've got a good idea, it probably goes in the bin. If it's from that boy that you didn't really want to know, it goes in the bin. Don't want to display that. Is that what we do with God's love? Are we rejecting it and saying, that's not for me? He did so much for you. God chose to love based on his character and not ours. We are saved by God, not based on our performance, trying to measure up to God's standard. Because if we do that, we will always fall short of his standard. But rather, we are saved by his grace, his unmerited love to us. And actually, this is the same kind of love that will sustain a marriage. Because you see, in a marriage, sometimes there will be rainy days. There will be problems that just come, and there will be problems that you've created yourselves. And there will be sin, and there will be fights, and there will be failures, and there will be imperfections. And all those things have the potential to make love fade. It's so easy to slip into feelings of disappointment with one another, and people say, well, I've fallen out of love. But what love have they fallen out of? I suggest they've fallen out of the eros love that they had in the beginning, when what they need to remember is the agape love, the love that forgives, the love that keeps on despite the struggle sometimes. True love is based on the character of the one who chooses to love. True love survives through thick and thin. You know, when you take those vows when you get married, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, we can kind of say those words very glibly at the time because we're in love with this person that we're going to marry. But they're important words because they're words that we need to go back to. The promises we made when things get tough and perhaps we don't feel in love. Sometimes we have to choose to love and to go on loving. So we must love others with the agape love that God showed us. And that same kind of agape love is required as we reach out to other people around us. Not loving people for what we can get from them, but loving in a sacrificial way. Loving in a way where we give of ourselves to them, mirroring to the extent we can the love of Christ, to make ourselves a sacrifice for others, even when we don't naturally feel in love with that person. We choose to love. As I said, 1 Corinthians 13 is often read at weddings, but if you look at the context, it's really a message for God's church to go on being patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. This is the kind of love, agape love, that God wants us to have. This is the power of love. God bless his word to us.